Things coming up in the life of your church. We had a great men's breakfast yesterday. We had 15 men show up for our monthly first Saturday of the month. And I would encourage all the men in the congregation to come out. From this point forward, we're going to be doing it here in our own fellowship hall. So be sure that the first Saturday of the month, gentlemen, that you would come out and join us for a great time of fellowship and just being together and having some fun together. So I would encourage you all to do that as well. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Make straight paths before us and guide our feet in the ways of peace. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite Larry and Janice Hatt to come forward for Advent reading and lighting of our candle.
The two candles we light this week in the Advent wreath, known as the magic candles, remind us that we too are to prepare our hearts and homes to receive Jesus Christ. Christ was born just as God had promised. God's people in other times waited and trusted in that promise. Our hope is in Christ, who comes into our hearts and promises to return. The candle of hope reminds us. Today we light a new candle, the candle of faith, to remind us that we can trust the God who keeps his word.
Reading from the letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. All who call on the Lord's name will be saved. So how can they call on someone they don't have faith in? And how can they have faith in someone they haven't heard of? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good news. But everyone hasn't obeyed the good news. As Isaiah says, Lord, who has had faith in our message? So faith comes from listening, but it's listening by means of Christ's message.
But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The note that was slipped under the door had been written in Spanish. The hotel room guests spoke only English. A kind man from the front desk graciously read the message for them. He did not write the message, but he communicated it. Each week, millions of people around the world gather to hear the words of God. Written originally in a nation language, the words of God are still translated with careful precision. At first, the word was only spoken, then written, copied by hand, and finally printed on the first printing press. Now today, in every form of communication possible, the message of God is graciously given to any who would receive it. God's word calls us to trust him. He invites us to believe his promises and his message. The prophet Isaiah long ago understood that message. Given is not necessarily a message believed. It is interesting to notice that God delivered his message to the key characters surrounding Jesus' birth using varied methods. The angel spoke to Mary and invited her to believe the impossible. She did. A message came in a dream to Joseph, inviting him to believe God's plan. He did. The wise man saw a sign of a star, but understood a message God placed in the heavens. They started out believing. The shepherds lay each night under the stars, but God used an angel and heavenly host, not a star, to send a message. They came in a hurry, believing. Just as miraculous as a star or an angel's voice, the Bible is God's message inviting us to come to Christ. A powerful, miraculous journey begins when those who hear the message believe what they hear. Please join me in prayer. Father, we have heard enough to believe. Help us not to hear only, but to trust. You have said we can live forever by trusting you. Like so many before us, we believe in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Larry and James. Amen.
is born. To us, a son is given. And then in Revelations 19:16, it says, He has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Do we want to have a nice place for them to see when they come in? Of Or do we want them to walk in and say, boy, these folks live like pigs. It's like a pigsty in here. Have you ever been called out of your room? Well, who's coming? Who are we waiting for? Who? Jesus. Right answer. Jesus, right? So if Jesus is going to show up at our house, you want him to see our junky rooms and stuff piled up all over the place? That would be sort of embarrassing, wouldn't it? So, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas are going to go home and clean their rooms and help you clean the house from now on. Because Jesus is coming back and we want him to see a nice place, right? So we have to get ready for something good when it happens, right? Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Devin's ready. Or you're not ready? What if he came back today? We had to run out and do a bunch of things before he got here. How do we know he's not here already? We don't know, do we? So I want you to get ready. I want you to help. What I mean by get ready is get your heart ready to see Jesus and receive Jesus into your heart. I don't know if y'all remember the quote I read last week from our Advent study, but the man who wrote that study said, every year we should anticipate Jesus being reborn in our hearts. Because this season and Christmas means that we can bring Jesus back into our hearts. That should happen all the time, every day. But it reminds us, especially at this time of the year, that we can invite Jesus back into our hearts. Do you have Jesus in your hearts? Good, good. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for giving us the urgency of preparation to not live in an emergency, but live with a sense of urgency that your Son will be here at any moment, and we should be ready. Father, as we go through this Advent season, I ask that you would keep our hearts pure and our thoughts of joy deep within us. We love you, Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to see your new puppy, though. I'm going to come by your house and visit your puppy, can I?
Let me go before the Lord in prayer. We really had some sadness in our church this morning, actually, throughout the week. So we got some special, just some special heartfelt times that we need to share together with one another. This season of the year, Advent, is such a joy-filled time. We remember the happiness of the season, but we also remember there's a lot of sad things during this time of year. These memories, a lot of times, is what this time of year brings, can somewhat be a downer. But we've just got to keep focused on the fact that Christ is coming back. And we've got to be prepared and be ready and have our house in order when he does that. So I want to lift up these needs to you this morning. We just received news just as we were walking in the sanctuary this morning that Nancy Geddes and Gene Crawford's nephew David actually passed away this morning. So we're very sad. If you remember, we've been praying for him as well. But he did pass away this morning. So our condolences to the family. And just keep our thoughts and prayers with them as they go through this time of grief. And one other thing, and this just breaks my heart, and I'm going to try to get through it as best I can. But last week, you know, we celebrated the announcement of a new baby coming into the Russell and Bryce family, Robin's son, Colin, and his girlfriend were to have a baby. And this week they lost that baby. So it's just a very sad time, such a time of excitement and just to bring about a new life. And today we're in mourning for that baby that they lost this week. So keep that family in prayer as well. And as well with the Russell family, we've heard that George Russell's sister Mary had a bypass surgery, and after the surgery had a stroke, and now she is at the end of her life as well. So it's been a tough week for the Russell-Riles family and all of those who have been suffering through these times of grief and mourning. So just keep those families in your prayers this week as well. We continue to pray for Larry. Larry's been moved to Delray Medical. Larry Kuchman, he had surgery on Thursday, I believe it was, or Friday, for the final skin graft on his leg, but he'll be in Delray Medical for 5 or 6 days. So towards the middle of the week, you'll be going back to the Consulate Healthcare. So you can contact him there or the hospital. He's up for visitors as well. We continue to pray for Pastor Peter Alfieri. He's home, and I don't think he's in real good health. So just pray for Pastor Peter. Richard Fearman as well, we continue to pray for him. He's under hospice care, but he's really had a bad day and really is not feeling well today. So keep Richard in your prayers as well. Judy Jacks as well, as told me this morning, she'll be having some surgery on Friday. So keep Judy in your prayers as well. The list gets longer and longer each week. Linda Gonzalez is asking for healing and full recovery for her. So we're praying for healing for you, Linda. And Karen hasn't prayed. We love these praises of their new job. It's going well. We're happy for you for that, Karen. And the coming of our Lord, coming of Jesus again. She's giving praise for that. Church friends and family. Marilyn and Gary Harder, they're not doing well. Health issues as well. Lift them up in your prayers. Randall, which is Emma's brother, who's recovering from illness. So we lift you guys up today as well. And Gary, continue to pray for Andy, that he continues to do well in his new job, and just for his faith and finances as well. A lot of that this time of year as well. People looking forward to a better new year. And I do want to mention there wasn't a prayer requirement. Mary Jane McKinnon is with us today after her broken hip. It's good to see you in church today, Mac and Mary Jane. Glad that you're here. Some other new faces are popping up. Some of our northern friends are coming back, so we're certainly glad that you're with us today. I know there's many things on your heart this morning that have gone unsaid, but now is the time to bring them to the foot of the cross. So if you would, bow your heads and pray with me, please. Gracious and loving God, in the midst of our despair and grief, we reach out to you with joy. Father, when these troubling times strike us and our families, and deep down we do have the question of why do these things happen? Father, we don't know. But those, as we give our lives to you and give our loved ones to you, Lord, we know that you are watching over us. Where there has been grief and loss this past week, I pray for renewal. I pray for the renewal of our hearts, and that our hearts would be open and receptive to Jesus Christ coming and dwelling within us. Father, we come together today to remember to be ready, to remember to prepare ourselves at any moment, at any time, any place that you may call us home. As we saw in the news once again this week, Lord, in the San Bernardino shootings, Father, the Grim Reaper is just outside our door. And Father, we need to be prepared. Father, we pray for those families devastated by that horrible, senseless crime, that act of evil, an example of darkness in the world. Father, darkness cannot be overcome by darkness. Darkness can only be overcome by light. Father, I pray your light in our world. Father, I pray your light to shine through each one of us. Each one of us, as we go forward with the light of Christ within us, we bring a guiding light. Father, our world is so desperate right now for this light. Father, we pray that you would protect us as a community of faith, as a community of Lake Worth, as a community of a state and a nation. Father, we cry out to you today. We cry out to you to protect us, to give us faith to carry us through any trauma, any trial. Father, I pray for those this morning that their faith may be wavering. Let it stand strong in the face of darkness and evil and grief and sorrow. Father, I pray today that you would lead your people once again. Lead your people to the promised land. So, Father, be with us today as a congregation, as we come together to celebrate Holy Communion, the gift of your Son giving himself freely to us. Father, we love you. We seek your guidance, your discernment in our lives, in the lives of our church. Father, I pray that we could reach out to those on the fringe of society this Advent season. Father, I pray that you would give us strength, that you would give us stamina for the journey. Father, we travel this road together, pulling those up that are weak, lifting them, moving them forward. We pray that you would strengthen us in our journey. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for the grace you pour out upon us in every second of our life. Father, we love you. We give you praise. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. This is just as it was written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet. From Isaiah, a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. All humanity will see God's salvation. Let's pray. Gracious God, we cry out for salvation this morning. Father, where we find grief and sorrow, we find joy and happiness. Father, we love you. Bless the reading of your word, and bless us as we receive this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The word came to John in the wilderness. We've had some examples this morning of families and folks being in the wilderness. Have you spent time in the wilderness? The longer I live, the more I realize that we usually face more than one wilderness. Life has ups and downs. Jesus Christ has said we will have times such as these. You believe that? Jesus himself knew that we would have times of despair and struggle. Many of you are facing many different kinds of struggle at this time of the year. As happy and joyful as the Christmas season can be, we also have times of grief and mourning. I pray today that we can put things into perspective. We don't know why. At funerals, sometimes I say, that person that passed away never asked why me. That's a really strong person. I'm going to tell you a story here in a few minutes about a dear friend of ours that passed away on Friday. For a Friday around noon. He was a man of tremendous faith, of courage. And his faith took him home. His faith took him home. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our good friend. Where do you think the word adventure comes from? You think it has anything to do with Advent? Advent, adventure? Do you like to call your times in the wilderness an adventure? Now, an adventure seems to be a good thing, right? As we wander around, bang and bump around in life, when it's good times, you say, boy, what an adventure. When it's rough times, we say, wow, I don't see the fun in this part of the story. Well, John came about saying that one was to come that would lead us on our adventure. When you're adventuring in the world, do you feel Jesus' presence? I was talking to him with the children this morning. Do you feel God's presence, the presence of Jesus, walking in your day-to-day life? If you don't feel that in your everyday humdrum existence, you need to stop and examine yourself. Because I guarantee you, Jesus is right there beside you, through good times and through bad. When we're on our adventure, it's hard for us to look and see Jesus on the road with us because we're having a good time. It's an adventure. But when times are bad, we look around, Jesus, where are you? Why aren't you here? He's been there the whole time. An adventure puts us on the edge of our seats. It puts us excited. What's coming around the next corner? The older we get, do we look at the next corner with excitement or, oh no, I wonder what's around the corner? Wonder what's going to happen next. So many times when I talk to people, they say, Pastor, this was awful. I wonder what's going to happen next. What else could go wrong?
Anyone ever said those words? This is awful, but I bet it can get worse. My dad used to have a saying, cheer up. He said, my mom, when I was a kid, told me, cheer up, things could be worse. He said, I cheered up, they got worse. Cheer up, things could be worse. Sometimes in the midst of our wilderness, we could say, how could it be any worse than this? How could it get any worse? When we think of adventure, who do we think of? Give me some modern-day characters that we throw out there when we're thinking of an adventurer. Who goes on adventures? I loved Indiana Jones. That guy could do anything. Can you think of any more? Neil Armstrong. Now, there's an American hero. Now, I gotta ask you this question, Alex. You think a man in his right mind would crawl inside of a rocket and say, okay, life just take me off. Let's see what happens. That's rather bizarre. I like an adventure, but I don't know if I want to go up in a big puff of smoke. But an adventure is a wake-up call to life. Amen? An adventure should wake us up. If we're nosing around thinking life is so humdrum, let's have that shot of caffeine. Let's have that firecracker under our seat. Has anyone ever put a firecracker under someone else's seat? Their adventure begins. Right? Their adventure begins with a firecracker under the seat of laziness. That's the best way to get a lazy person motivated, isn't it? Check your seats before you sit in. You know, we're in the season of Advent. We're born to be an adventurer. Do you believe that? Do you believe God wants you to just lounge around the house and say, what a good Christian I am? God at every moment is trying to kick you out of your seat. God is putting a firecracker under your seat. How many have experienced God shaking, rattling the timbers? How many have done that? God says, wake up. I've got something for you to do. And you hit the snooze button. God, I love that idea, but I'll get back with you a little later. I'm resting right now. I'll have more energy later when you call. You know, as the church, we're to offer people that opportunity for adventure. Do you agree with me on that? Do you think the church today lives up to its purpose of inviting all of you to be a part of God's adventure? You hear me? I get up here on a regular basis telling you to find your niche. Find something for you to do. Many of you have. Many of you have accepted God's call. Do you think you've been called? You know, so many times I talk to people and they say, God is never, my phone has never rang. That red phone from God, it's never rang. It's never rained. I go to church, and I sit back there with my nose in the bulletin, and the preacher tells us all these great things, but I don't ever hear them. It's not ringing my phone. I've been told as a pastor, well, you didn't call. Sorry, I'm not the one going to be calling you. That red phone from God is the one ringing. That's your call. That's your call to action. But you know what makes this exciting is we're in it together. I said this last week. You know, we're in this journey. Do you ever feel your journeying alone? I counsel with a lot of people that say I'm alone in the world. I feel the world has turned their back on me. The world has turned their back on you because you're not in the world. You've got to get out there. You've got to get in the game. You've got to get your
place on the bench first, and then the coach is going to call you in. I used to be a bench warmer, believe that? I was one of the professional bench warmers. Anyone else been a bench warmer? Well, you know what? When I was a bench warmer, a lot of the times the coach didn't put me off the bench. He let me sit there. What God taught me in that was to go find another bench. That's not the bench I want you sitting on. Find another bench, and I will call you into action. You ever sat on the wrong bench? I have. You can admit to that. We think, God, okay, put me here. Sit me down. Tell me what to do. People tell me you never call. Get up and move. Get up and move to another bench. That's what John the Baptist was telling us. He was leading us. You see John the Baptist as leading us, as a good leader. What did he look like? Old ragamuffin beard and camel. What did he have? Camel skin clothes and eat bugs and all that kind of stuff. So being in the adventure, leading the team can rough you up a little bit, can it? How many of you have led a team that tried to eat you alive? You've got to be careful of that. As a team, when I worked for the water management, we went into this whole team concept. And I was actually in management at that time, and they wanted me to be kind of a team leader. We had a meeting. I said, I want those guys on my team. They said, well, here's your team. I don't want those. Can I have another team? I want a different team. I don't like this team. That was before my call into ministry. Now God says, this is your team. Okay, I don't want you, and I don't want you. And we'll ask them to leave there. God says, now you've got to use everybody you've got to put on your team. When it was up to me, I would kick people off my team. It's not my team anymore. Get what I'm saying here? John the Baptist was leading the team. He was telling people, get prepared, get ready. That's what Advent is. John gave us the message. You've got to be ready. You've got to have your house in order. You know, anything can happen in life. Good stuff, we celebrate that. There's bad stuff. We mourn and grieve for that, but we try to turn it somehow into good stuff. And life is about love. That's the gift you're receiving at Christmas. You know, as a kid, we rush into the room and we start ripping the packages open. I got a lot of neat stuff as a kid, but I never got any love wrapped up in one of those packages. The packages were given with love, but you can't box up love and put it in a box, can you? I don't think you can. Anybody done that? I haven't been able to package up love in a box. If I could give someone a hug when their heart was broken. If I could give someone a Whopper from Burger King out of love. I could call someone and say, I hope you're doing okay today. Out of love. So I would encourage you all during this Advent season and beyond, and not just Advent, not just up to Christmas. Be nice to one another. Love one another. Give someone a hug that needs a hug. Give someone a few minutes of your time. That's what John was telling us. Be ready. Be prepared. When the rough things happen, Jesus will be there with you. You know, we don't expect to find God in the wilderness, but He's there. How many times do you look around in the wilderness and say, God, where are you? He's right there beside you. Feel His loving embrace. You know, sometimes it keeps us from reaching out because we don't like the unpredictable, do we? We don't like things to change. Heard a great saying one time, the only person that likes change is a wet baby. Thank you. rest of us like it just fine. Whether good or bad, we're okay with where we're at, right? It's easy because we're familiar with it. We don't like the unpredictable. Take a step around the corner into the unexpected. Because what's waiting on the other side is the gift of a Savior. I pray today that that is the message that you take away from that. And I want to tell you about my friend Gary Hildebrand. We've been praying for him for months now. 8 months ago, he was diagnosed with liver cancer. At the age in his early 20s, it was him and his sister, a brother and sister. And at the early, somewhere in his early 20s, his kidneys failed. His sister was a perfect match. She gave him a kidney. He lived to be 63 years old. Throughout his life, obviously, him and his sister really had this deep connection. Gary was diagnosed 8 months ago with liver cancer because after all these years, his kidneys, his organs began to fail again. They found liver cancer in his liver. They gave him 3 months to live. His sister came beside him, took him into her home, and took care of him every moment until Friday. I said, Gail, you're an angel. You're talking about someone that gave a part of herself physically to someone, her brother. And then in this time of need, she did everything for him. We were just amazed by her dedication, her support. She gave her love. But what makes this even more special is Gary's faith. We were all of his friends. I've known Gary for probably 20 years. We were so amazed by his faith. He's laying in the hospital in agony a lot of times, and he's asking us, who can I pray for? What else have I got to do while I'm laying here in this bed to pray for others? He would ask, who can I pray for? I know where I'm going. I know what's happening to me. Who else needs God's love? A prayer warrior like you would not believe. He always thought of others first. Always. So that's the gift I received this year. We were just there. A group of us went over on Monday. He passes on Friday. On Monday, he was in good spirits. He could speak to us. You know, he was with it. And I felt when we left that he's ready to go now. And he did on Friday. God called him home. But what a gift he gave to everyone else in his demise. In his failings, his body gave up on him, but he was still blessing others right up to the very end. What a man of God. And for that I am grateful. Because he's given me a gift as well. So I pray this year that Gary's story would inspire you for one, but you would go out in your adventure and bring other ones in to the story. That's all God asks for us. Bring others alongside. There's grief and sorrow in the wilderness. There's joy and happiness in the wilderness. But God uses all things for good. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
In the midst of our sorrow and tragedy, can you believe God can use that for good?
Amen.
Sometimes I say, God, I don't know what you're doing with this mess. If you can get any good out of this, go for it. But I sure don't see it. But he can and he will. He will. He absolutely will. The greatest gift that Jesus Christ gave us is represented this morning here on the altar. Jesus Christ came and gave himself for us. Let's have a prayer.
Gracious God, thank you for one, for John, the baptizer. Father, he came before Jesus was here to tell us to get ready, to be prepared. Father, let us now prepare ourselves for the supper that you provided us, through which Jesus Christ gives himself up for us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Join me, please. Merciful God, we confess that we have loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to keep and obey the church. We have not done your will.
We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your will.
We have not loved our neighbors.
We have not heard your cry and need. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy one, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you sent away empty. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus Christ gave himself up for us, with his friends around the table, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, broken for you." Likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and he raised it to his Father in heaven and said, "Father, bless this, for this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, let the light pierce.
pierce our hearts. Let us be the light in the world. We love you, Jesus. Give us the wilderness path you've called us to. We love you, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ha ha ha.